It's a low bar.
It may be a low bar, but I definitely want to. I want listeners to hear your comedic style.
Oh, no. Yeah. No.
Seriously, you just told me a joke. It's a groaner, but you got to share it.
So why does the Norwegian Navy have barcodes on the side of their ship?
I don't know.
Because when they come into port, they can Scandinavian.
Yeah, that's quality.
You get what you pay for.
I think there's a term for that, and I think that term is dad joke.
That's exactly where I found it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, anyway, it makes sense because you've always had a passionate interest in the military. And so, I don't know about your background in terms of genealogy, but do you have any Norwegian?
No, not that I'm aware of. Mostly Irish, Scottish, and German. So,
yeah.
And a mix of everything else, like most people.
Yeah, like most Americans, that's for sure. Thanks for coming down again, Don, for another conversation because, as you know, Nonfiction Brandversity and the Nonfiction Brand Podcast are all about personal branding, small business branding, and what I think Mark Schaefer has brilliantly surfaced to the world, the idea that company brands don't exist anymore, at least in terms of power. What's more powerful? A personal brand, the people that work for the company.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to talk to you today specifically about you and your relationship to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Now, again, I just want to set things up for listeners. Don has worked at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, a top 25 research university in the world for how many
20 years?
20 years. 20 years. So the UW-Madison has people coming from around the globe. It attracts people from around the globe, mainly because of its brand. I've talked to some Chinese students who the first day they set foot on campus was the first day they had classes. I mean, they came and I asked them, why did you choose Madison? And they said, we looked at the list of the top universities in the field I was interested in. I selected Madison. So that's an excellent example of corporate branding or entity branding, whatever you want to call it. But a lot of that brand is based on the quality of the personal brands that have worked at the University of Madison for over 100 years.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, how many Nobel Prize winners?
It's pretty phenomenal. I'm not sure the exact number, but Nobel Prize winners right now at the current time, there are more Fortune 500 CEOs from UW-Madison than any other college or university.
I recently saw that.
Yeah.
Harvard has 12 CEOs in the Fortune 500. UW-Madison has 14.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, it's a very, you know, I think I often take it for granted to some degree, but yeah, the brand as far as international entity, like you said, I've literally had students from every continent other than Antarctica, of course, but every continent who, you know, sought out the university, which is not in the middle of, I mean, it's in the middle of the United States, so it's not in a big, huge named location that people from other countries would recognize, which is basically New York, Chicago, maybe Chicago, and LA. And we've built enough of a brand profile that it definitely is super attractive to a lot of people from all over. And like you said, Nobel Prize winners, Pulitzer Prize winners, ambassadors, politicians, you know, all different kinds of things, CEOs. It's an impressive list for sure.
So in discussing everything we just talked about, we're making a really strong argument for corporate branding or entity branding. And that was what everything was. If you worked for IBM, that said everything about you.
Yes.
That has changed. And it never really wasn't, or the idea of personal branding was always there for some people. The people who became named despite whatever organization they were. Like if one of the things in one of my presentations, I'll throw up a picture of Babe Ruth and say, who is that? Audience will say Babe Ruth. They'll go, how do you know that? You say, I don't know. I say, none of us have ever seen him play live. He's no longer the leader in home runs. And yet, all you have to do is show a picture of Babe Ruth and everybody knows it. He was a personal brand.
Oh, absolutely.
In baseball, no matter what position he played on the field. And by the way, I follow up with, and what position did he play?
Started
nobody
as a pitcher.
Knows. Well, he did start as a pitcher. And
he was a phenomenal pitcher, actually.
Right. He would have been Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
But then they saw he could hit.
Yep.
And said, we'll put you in left field.
Yeah.
So he wasn't about his position. He was about himself and what he could do. His most powerful self happened to be a self holding a bat. And so we know that he played for the Yankees. I mean, most people probably know that, or anybody into sports would know that. But very few people would be able to say left field. He played left field.
And he started with the Red Sox, and the Red Sox made a bad trade.
Oh, my God.
That's a whole other story.
Well, it is. But I'm pointing to the fact that these entities, I mean, New York Yankees, an incredible brand, had an incredible brand playing for them.
Absolutely.
I mean, putting it in terms of you and working at the university, you've got this incredible, what sometimes I'll describe as an umbrella brand. Mm-hmm. But under that umbrella are experts in nuclear physics, in linguistics, and human ecology of all different types of things and all that stuff. And I've watched you. You are actively building your personal brand within the fields of social media and marketing, specifically kind of in that communication social media area in a big way. Why are you doing that?
I think there's a couple of reasons, and I want to tap into one of the things that you had mentioned about Mark Schaefer's book. And I think one of the key things to take away is we need to be thinking always about audience and what are the expectations as far as culture. And one of the things that we know from research is that millennials and Gen Zers, which you're talking approximately 38-year-old people and younger, are looking to feel a sense of connection to places that they purchase from. So they're looking for some sense of shared value, some sense of shared meaning. Of course, you're always going to have your people who buy just on price, but people essentially want to know who they're interacting with and what they stand for to some degree. And I think that's where it behooves places like the University of Wisconsin-Madison, as an example, has over 40,000 students, and I don't even remember how many employees. But one of the things people are looking for is what types of people make up this organization? What types of people, what is the organization culture like? What are the people inside it like? What's it like to be there? It's almost like you can use social media as a way to get a tour, so to speak, of what the culture and people at a place are like. And I think for me, part of it is just extending the impact of what we do on campus. One of the things in my teaching role, outside of my consulting role, in my teaching role, I take very, very seriously is there's something called the Wisconsin Idea. And the Wisconsin Idea, for those of you who don't know, is essentially one of the former high ups at the university years and years ago said, the mission of the university is to take what is learned on campus and extend it to every corner of our state. So what happens on campus has to be shared because we're a public university. And so I take that very, very seriously. And so for me, as building the personal brand, it's trying to extend what I'm teaching, what I'm doing, and what I'm learning to everybody, demonstrate what's going on campus in my classes, but also have them get a chance to learn and benefit from some of the things that I'm learning, that I'm teaching, and that I'm doing. So it's cool because it does build a personal brand and I get recognized and I get opportunities to speak and consult and those types of things. But it's also built around this idea that one of the overall arching missions of the university is to share what we learn with the public and disseminate that so that it can serve the public good. And so I get to build a personal brand that is built around serving that mission as well. So it's very important for people in this day and age, again, to know some of the cultural makeup of an organization. Who works there? What do they do? What do they stand for? What is it like? And again, with the university, the biggest thing for me, and because sometimes people, when they hear me say what you stand for, they think it has to be something political or controversial. And that's not the case. In this case, what I mean and what I stand for is that what we do as public servants at the University of Wisconsin needs to be shared across the state. So it's kind of part of my charter, I believe, to share what I'm learning and what I'm doing on social media so more than the students on campus can benefit. So that whole idea of thinking about scale and thinking about, you know, responsibility, and some people really enjoy that. I've had quite a few people that I've connected with, literally thousands upon thousands of people that I've connected with through social who, you know, get to participate in some way in some of the stuff that I'm teaching and doing and learning. And I learn from them as well. And the students then get to have interactions with people who aren't students on campus, but they're citizens of the state or of the world. And it just creates a really cool dynamic. And I know for a fact that that kind of interaction wouldn't happen in my classrooms because we do a lot of work on social media and in the public sphere. My students have to. So we get a lot of great interaction with companies and individuals and businesses, not only in Wisconsin, but all over the world. And that's a win-win opportunity for both the students and the people who start following me and my personal brand. and want to know, hey, what's Don and his classes doing at right now? What are they studying right now? What kind of projects are they doing right now? And again, they can learn from me and my students, and vice versa. We get a chance to interact and learn and make connections that benefit us as well.
I once heard the Wisconsin idea kind of summarized as the boundaries of the university are the borders of the state of Wisconsin. And that really resonates with me because I went to a UW school that's in the center of the state, Stevens Point, you know, and went up there to be a forest ranger. That didn't stick. But let's just say I had an amazing education, incredible opportunities, and it was all part of the University of Wisconsin system. And one of the things that I would be exposed to, because Stevens Point is in an agricultural area of the state of Wisconsin, and one of my roommates actually was a soils major. I mean, he studied dirt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? You studied dirt? And that made no sense to me, the city boy, but it made huge sense to all the people who work and live and own farms. How do you know what to plant, when to plant it, what soil do you have, what crops are best for it? All this information was available through the university, specifically through the person working for the university extension office.
Correct.
So that farmer in the field does not see the brand UW, but they deal with the brand UW in the form of a woman named Cindy, who might come out to the farm and do a soil assay or, you know, assess the soil and things like that. So their touch point with the corporate brand is the personal brand named Cindy.
Absolutely. And that's where I think when we're talking about listeners who do work for corporations or run larger organizations, it's so important to make sure that people understand and convey the culture of that organization when they're representing it. That, you know, personal brand doesn't mean you do whatever you want, whatever you want. It means you do it with under the umbrella of. So for example, with the university, my role there is to try to extend the education that I try to provide to my students. And so I limit what I do, and it's almost unlimited content, but to things that are focused on what the university would want me to talk about, as though I'm going out and I'm speaking at an event. Because online I am. When I'm doing things under my university hashtag and things like that, I am representing the university. And you need to be thoughtful about that. But what that does, though, is it humanizes the organization. So, you know, when you're what you're talking about was what Cindy does in that example is she humanizes the UW Extension and the University of Wisconsin because she is the person in the field. And if she understands what the company stands for, she can embody those values. And that's where I think it's important. Like with the university, one of the missions that comes, and it's not forced on us, but one of the charter umbrella missions of social media and all of our communications is that we try to have a voice of inspired goofiness. And that's literally the term that's used. And the inspired goofiness is if you study the history of this particular university, we've always had students do just outlandish silly things, but serious scholarship at the same time. And so we'll have playful social media content that helps to highlight serious, impactful research topics. Because sometimes some of the research topics can be really, really, really boring if you're not into them, but they can be really important. So part of our job is to make them fun and interesting and exciting. And we can also do playful stuff because we have good athletic teams or extracurricular things that we might share some of that stuff out too. So it's kind of a combination. So I think thinking about the personal brands within an organization, if you're thinking of it that way, you know, that the corporate brand needs to have a sense of who they are so it can help the personal brands within make sure that underlying mission, that underlying voice is still conveyed. And for me, that inspired goofiness, you'll see, I'll post silly little facts sometimes, and I'll couple that with things that are based in deep scholarship or deep research. But I do it in a very, I try to do it. I like to be, as you heard from my bad joke at the very beginning, you know, I like to do it in a playful, non-serious way at times. So I think that's something that as you think about, is it possible for me to allow my charges, my employees to develop personal brands as a part of my corporate organization? The answer is absolutely yes. And give them boundaries, you know, give them not super restrictive boundaries, but boundaries of saying, this is what we stand for. This is what our mission and purpose is. And so have at it, but our job is to do this. So, you know, use this as your filter of, you know, are you inspiring people? Are you being playful as you inspire people? And if so, go for it. And, you know, for some people that the inspired or the goofiness part isn't part of their personality. So they go more with just the inspired.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
The word authenticity has been thrown around by a lot of people. Yeah. And to me, half the people who are throwing it around are kind of new era snake oil salespeople because they're talking about appearing to be authentic or putting on a mask that is most pleasing to other people or the majority of people.
Yeah.
That's not authentic. Oh. At all.
And that drives me insane because this concept of authenticity, I was recently on a couple of other podcasts and this came up and it has been so bastardized by people misusing it. Authenticity is so incredibly important, but people now start to roll their eyes when they hear a presenter say it because people misuse it. And really, authenticity is nothing more than what you say and what you do align, period. You are who you say you are. You act how you say, you know, how you speak, what you talk about. And the beauty of social media is if you don't do that, eventually you're going to get found out.
Yeah.
And you're going to get found out. And if you're not who you really say you are as an organization or as an individual within an organization or as your own personal brand, you're going to get found out. And so it's just be who you really are and say who you are within the context of, you know, what it is you're trying to accomplish. Don't try to be somebody or something that you're not. Learn to embrace that, especially in the sense of within context. Because my students will always like, well, you know, what should I do? Because, you know, I want to do this and I want this to be about me and authentic. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, you're developing your brand around your professional goals. So you can't talk the same way or act the same way. And, you know, you need to do it in terms of like a professional context.
Yeah, I think of it as almost like Goldilocks. Mm. You've got Baby Bear, which is too much information. Look at the omelet I had this morning. And, oh, I got a new tattoo. And, ooh, I broke up with my girlfriend and now I'm a mess. That's TMI, too much information. Then you got Papa Bear, who does nothing. And, you know, the majority of human beings that work for companies are Papa Bear. Mm-hmm. They do nothing.
Yeah.
They are a tool, a cog in a machine that can be easily replaced.
Yep.
Personal branding under, especially a corporate umbrella, is kind of Mama Bear, right in the middle of, I need to show enough of myself and share enough of myself, my opinions, my point of view on things. But I always need to remember I'm wearing a shirt with the logo of the company on it in front of everyone I talk to. We've just been involved, and when I say we, I mean just American culture has been involved with a number of imbroglios with sports guys who've kind of stepped over the line on some things. And probably the one that most people, especially anybody listening around the world, might recognize is the Houston Rockets GM or whatever that did a single tweet about the protests in Hong Kong.
Yep.
And kaboom, an atom bomb went off, you know, in terms of public relations mess.
Yeah.
Now, the whole thing is he as an individual has the absolute right to support whatever political thing you want to do. But you're the GM of the Houston Rockets while the Houston Rockets and other teams are playing in China. And by the way, the whole LeBron James thing was not him saying he shouldn't have said that about Hong Kong. What he was trying to say was we were in China. When you said that, and you have no idea what that felt like to us and how it blew up in our faces.
Yeah.
Well, and that became a huge problem.
Yep.
So all of a sudden you've got one person who says a 280 character tweet and it causes a global problem, not only for the individual, but the brand, Houston Rockets, the brand, LeBron James, the brand, NBA, and NBA's future in China. Huge, huge market. Yeah. And I'm not saying anything politically.
Yeah.
I'm saying that Houston Rockets guy has to remember I'm always wearing the Houston Rockets logo when I open my mouth. And that's true of everybody else. I mean, you mentioned yourself. I'm not saying you're censoring yourself. You just know the topics that are correct for your personal brand in its context at the University of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. That's a... You know, there's a lot of gray area, and I think that example brings up a lot of good points of debate because things still do need to be figured out. And it is in that case with the NBA, you know, where do you draw the line between you're a business versus you're a place that has the power to create some social change? And that's, and it can get messy. So that's one of the things that I totally understand why corporations are like, I don't know what to do and I don't know how to do it. And, you know, I'm afraid I'd rather just shut everybody down and not have them do anything, because you get an incident like that. And I have my personal stance on that, like anybody else. But one of the things is, you know, being conscientious of, you know, there is gray area, but giving, not necessarily giving people talking points, but like Mark Schaefer talks about this, about doing training with people within the organization on how to use social media as a voice for the company. And that doesn't mean, you know, standing up for everything the company says or does. Obviously not every company is near the political clout and the potential political impact that NBA can have, but just training them on, this is what we do, this is how we do it, here are some things that you can amplify about what we do, here are some recommendations. And so one of the case studies he talks about is how he was working with Adidas or Adidas, depending on
Adidasler,
how they were struggling with their athletes in terms of the amount of social reach that their athletes had, whereas Under Armour and Nike and Red Bull were just absolutely crushing it. And those athletes who worked with those companies were having a significant positive impact on brand affinity. And so what they did is they developed a training program for Adidas-sponsored athletes and taught them how to use social media. So they didn't necessarily say, don't do this, do this, as far as putting up really strict boundaries. What they did is just said, here's the ways that we can use social media, and you could be social media savvy that helps you build your brand, and it also helps us out in a way that benefits everybody.
Hey, nonfiction branders, did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Anne Hanley, said, this isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts. Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, R-O-T-O-M-A. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way.
Yeah, going back to my analogy, it's like, stop being Papa Bear, but don't be Baby Bear. Mm-hmm. There's a perfect middle zone, and you're going to transgress either toward Papa or Baby every once in a while.
Yep.
But ideally, always remember, we want that just right zone, mm-hmm. which is be personal, but not too personal.
Yeah. And that's, and I often think of it in the sense of, you know, when you meet somebody, what are some common things that you talk about? The weather, sports, something in pop culture. You know, those are the kind of things. And people will sometimes minimize that, but I'll often say, if I imagine that I am in Madison, Wisconsin, and I'm walking down the street and I see somebody with the Wisconsin Badgers t-shirt on, I'm not going to say anything to that, because mm-hmm. there's a gazillion people walking around Madison. But right. if I see somebody in LA and I'm in a different context and I see them wearing a Badger t-shirt, there's a good chance I'm going to say hi. Or if I'm in Paris, or if I'm wherever. Because what that is that's a little social signal of what that person stands for that allows me to see a little social signal from them and say, hey, I might have a connection point with this person. And that's where, you know, putting some things out about things like topics like, again, sports, weather, pop culture stuff, little fun factoids on stuff can be little social signals that allow people to connect on a human level. And it allows them to be able to make some connections that start conversations. Again, you and I are both dog people.
Right.
I cannot count how many times people have approached me because I was walking my dogs and they wanted to pet them. And had I not had the dogs, they would have never come near me.
That's right.
And so it's those little social signals, dog or tweeting out something about a sports team or about something that's happening on a reality show or whatever, can be little social signals that can help make some connections and some impact on and start building rapport with people and showing. NASA, I think, does a great job of this.
Yeah.
Where they show a lot of photos of the astronauts just having a great time. The other mm-hmm. the other day, not too long ago, they did the first all-female, all-woman spacewalk.
Right.
And, you know, the pictures of the astronauts who went and did the spacewalk, they looked like they were having a great time.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't the serious, stern, you know, totally scientific, you know, we're here just, it was, holy cow, this is really cool, you know?
Well, and I can only think of the thousands of little girls who mm-hmm. saw that and for the first time saw what was possible for them absolutely. If they shared that interest. You know, it's that old saying, you got to see it to be it.
Yep.
It's not just, I have to envision it in my mind. I have to see it on stage. I have to yeah. see it in space. I have to see it on planes. There was another thing that I saw on LinkedIn. Delta flew a plane full of girls from Salt Lake City, I think, to, well, wherever, to a NASA facility with an all-female crew.
Yep.
So there's the all-female crew with a whole plane full of girls because they were boosting the idea of women in aviation.
Absolutely.
That is great social sharing. Absolutely. That is totally inspiring without having some type of insipid motivational quote.
Yep.
That photo showed and said more and did more for Delta
yeah.
and NASA and STEM education absolutely. For girls yep. than 1,000 inspirational blah, blah quotes.
No doubt about it.
Well, I'm here talking with Don Stanley of the University of Wisconsin Life Sciences Communication Department. And we're talking about personal branding, entity or company brands, how they work together. And we're going to continue that conversation in next week's episode. But for now, we got to wrap it up. So I'm DP Knutton for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast and Nonfiction Brandversity. And he is
Don Stanley.
And we'll be talking to you next week. Bye-bye.